Make a wish, and wouldn't you know it, but Simon Hunter from Help by East is here. Simon, good morning to you.
Here I am. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Just listening to the Ronettes and the Rubettes, sorry, and getting my. If you can hit the high notes, you definitely don't need more coffee. But there you go. How are things up in Madrid? Last time we spoke, which was only last week, and I hope you're feeling better than you were last week, by the way, my friend. We were looking forward to festivities. Everything seemed to be going. You know, the main story seemed to be these. Still the Palmer. Volcano, and I said that we should perhaps call it, the devil's hangover would be the word for the volcano. Yep. But now we seem to have turned back time, as Cher would say.
Absolutely. Well, what a difference a week makes. I was so full of optimism, among other things, last week when we spoke. And and here we are. It all seems to have taken quite a shift, and now I must say I'm a little bit nervous. I'm nervous about what's going on here. I'm nervous about what's going to happen at Christmas, because of course this is the thing: the emergence of this new variant, Omicron. Until a couple of weeks have passed, we're not really going to know where we are. Which, just ahead of Christmas, presents quite a few problems. So let's have a little sum up. We've got two confirmed cases of Omicron in Spain so far. Both were travellers from who had come from South Africa. There are no direct flights from South Africa to Spain, but obviously you can get here on connecting flights. The case that was confirmed yesterday in Madrid is a 61-year-old woman. She's doing well, with mild COVID symptoms. And the first case was announced on Monday. It was a 51-year-old man also presenting minor symptoms. There are also two more suspected cases so far in Catalonia, and we're awaiting confirmation. Now, for various reasons, certain countries are better at doing this sequencing of the genome of the virus than others. South Africa and the UK happen to be countries that are particularly good at this, and some countries are not, and Spain is among those countries. So it's a case of the process going a bit slower here. The new variant can be detected by genomic sequencing, which is the benchmark, but also it can show up on PCR tests. If certain mutations appear on a PCR test but are not others, they can identify it. So that's good. That's a quick way of identifying this variant, which obviously, evidently, is here. And it's one of those things where we have to be very careful with the language. This happened when the Kent variant was discovered. It's important to point out that it was detected in South Africa, but didn't necessarily originate in South Africa. So what's going on in terms of travel restrictions? Spain has, like other countries, stepped up its measures in the wake of the news of this new variant. Fully vaccinated passengers from risk countries must now present a negative COVID test before they can enter. And the southern African countries in question here, with this new variant, there is now a 10-day obligatory quarantine for passengers arriving in Spain from these countries. Also, at the weekend, there were changes in terms of travel between the UK and Spain. As we know now, because of the new variant, the UK or England acted particularly quickly and put in a PCR test requirement by day two. So this is quite an important point, actually, because in the past, the tests in the UK, for example, you had to do a home test on day two and on day eight, and you had to stay in quarantine until you got your negative test results back. With these requirements now, you can actually do the test on arrival, for example, at the airport. A lot of the airports now have got these drive-through services or car park services, at Heathrow, for example. So you could literally walk off the plane, have your test booked, do that test, and as soon as the test comes back negative, you can break quarantine. But the alternative is to have a home test, which you have to complete by the end of day two, but you can complete on the day of arrival. So it's slightly different, a bit more flexible, the testing in the UK now compared to how it was in the past. And also big news, this was a very widely read story of ours. Of course, now travel to Spain Residents of the UK must be fully vaccinated before travel. So it's not the case anymore that you can take a test if you're not fully vaccinated before you come to Spain. You need to be fully vaccinated if you're coming to Spain. So obviously that's mostly going to affect tourists because there are exceptions. The most interesting ones for us, I guess, are there's exceptions for EU citizens, Spanish citizens, and as far as we understand, UK nationals with residency in Spain. As usual with the details of these measures, it's very difficult to find out exactly what the details are. But I spoke to the British Embassy, and we were basically agreed that we were on the same page, that we understand that the rules that Spain has put down as it takes control of its borders are that if you've got residency in Spain and you're a UK national, then you don't necessarily need to be fully vaccinated.
Yes, but how much fun is that going to be when we come through customs then for the next time you fly back? You know, clutching your TIE card or hoping you've got whatever, and not first of all, it was not getting your passport stamped. Now it's going to be making sure that they believe that you're actually a resident, so you don't have to do the full vax if you return. You do the full sort of passports if you're returning.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, my recommendation is to check. Well, first of all, check on the gov.uk site, which is full of very useful information on travel both ways. But also check with your airline to avoid nasty surprises. I know, for example, the last time I flew with Ryanair, you can actually upload your COVID documentation to your boarding pass so that it's all there before you even get to the airport, which is a very good idea. But definitely check with your airline and make sure everything is okay before you go to the airport if you're traveling. Because like you said, I mean, combined with all the other trabas, I can't think of the word, all the other sort of obstacles.
We live in interesting times, my friend, yes.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're planning on going home at the at Christmas for 10 days, but if it gets very, very complicated, I think we'll be cancelling that because just after all the trips that we've done the last year, I'm not sure if it's worth it. But anyway, go on.
The other thing is we've seen a while back it was everything was per the 100,000 inhabitants, and that has been slowly but surely creeping up again. So it is, you know, we are not out of the woods yet in terms of people still catching it. It's not as deadly as it was because of the campaigns, but it's still creeping up, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, creeping up really, really quite rapidly. I mean, as I think we spoke about last week, just, you know, early November, we were still at this, you know, fantastic situation where the 14-day incidence per 100,000 inhabitants in Spain was under 50. But now yesterday's report, it's now risen to 208 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. Now, obviously this is of concern and we need to watch this, but we've got a very, very high proportion of the population in Spain fully vaccinated. And that means that the other indicators are not of great concern at the moment. So hospitalizations, for example, there's just under 4,000 COVID-19 patients in hospital. I mean, that did rise again. It rose by about 150 from Monday to Tuesday. And it's just 3% of all available beds. In the ICUs, in the intensive care units, there are just 713 COVID-19 patients across the country, which is obviously, again, is very low, especially compared to other moments of the pandemic when those numbers were through the roof and the pressure on hospitals was very, very high. As I said, I mean, running into Christmas, especially the fact that we need to, you know, have a couple of weeks before there is really data to analyze about the Omicron variant, it's a bit of a delicate situation. The Spanish health ministry is actually recommending limiting the number of people at public and social gatherings, particularly during the Christmas holidays. And we ran a piece yesterday about, you know, the risks coming into Christmas and what you can do to
I was going to remark on that. It's like your cut out and keep guide to having a safe Christmas with El País, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. To go back to the new variant, it is quite interesting because, you know, at the moment, it's one of those things where really throughout the pandemic, any action that any government has taken has been, you know, unpopular, whether it's too cautious or not cautious enough. So what we've seen here, and particularly, I think it was particularly interesting how quickly the UK reacted, because you know the UK government has been criticised for being particularly slow in a lot of cases, especially at the outset of the pandemic. My goodness. It's interesting they've acted so quickly, and the experts are kind of a bit sort of divided on this, because there's this whole thing about how, you know, South Africa is essentially being punished, or they feel, the government feels anyway, it's being punished for having drawn attention to this variant. And it almost is a kind of disincentive for other countries to flag up new variants, because they get slapped with all of these travel bans and these travel restrictions. But yeah, I mean, it's not yet been confirmed whether Omicron is more contagious, triggers more serious illness, or is able to escape the protection offered by the COVID-19 vaccines. Now, various experts have looked at the particular mutations and have pretty much said, you know, this is pretty much the worst combination of mutations that we would want to see. So there is a huge amount of concern, but there is, you know, with the data available so far, it's not possible to say whether it's going to cause more serious cases of COVID-19 or if it's going to bypass antibodies, whether they're obtained by a vaccine or from recovery from the disease. So where more time is needed. El País has spoken to various specialists, and it's quite interesting. One of them from Navarre University, Ignacio López Goñi, he said it could even be the case that this variant is more transmissible, but that it actually causes a milder form of COVID-19, which actually wouldn't be bad news because, you know, on that basis, it would spread quickly through the population, but actually wouldn't cause serious illness, especially if the vaccines are still doing their job. Whereas another, you know, another opinion we got from a genetics professor at Valencia University, Fernando González Candelas, he said the borders have been closed before having data to justify it. So he was sort of very much on the opposite side. And then again, another view, Santiago Moreno from Ramón y Cajal Hospital in Madrid, he disagreed. He said, I don't think we've rushed into this. It's already outside countries in Southern Africa. The risk is very high, and it's necessary to adopt measures as soon as possible to contain the spread. He said that although the data is very preliminary, it suggests that Omicron is more infectious than the Delta variant. So yeah, pretty much at the worst possible moment heading into Christmas, we're in a moment of great uncertainty. But yeah, one last thing to mention is vaccination. Again, as I said, you know, we're hovering around this 80% figure in Spain for a full percentage of the vaccination. Percentage of the population, sorry, that's fully vaccinated. And interestingly, vaccinations actually saw an uptick last week. After the day after we spoke to you, we ran a story about the fact that people were now going to get vaccinated who haven't been before. And El País spoke to various people who are waiting in line, and their reasons were really quite varied. It was interesting. I mean, some people just said, oh, well, I had COVID and I've been meaning to get the vaccine. I just haven't got around to it, but I want to do it now. Some people say, oh, well, I'm going on a school trip. Or I need to travel abroad, so I need to get vaccinated. And also the reaction to more regions introducing COVID passports for things like bars, restaurants. So it's basically where you have to download your EU COVID pass before you can access bars and restaurants. So that seems to be spurring, you know, the sort of stragglers, the small percentage of people who haven't got vaccinated yet to get vaccinated. But again, there's even questions about whether COVID passports are really going to help in Spain, because with such a high percentage of people vaccinated, it might really have quite a negligible effect.
Yeah.
Especially, of course, as we know, you can still catch the virus even if you're vaccinated. We're still sort of waiting for this preliminary data that does suggest that you're less likely to pick up an infection if you have been if you have been vaccinated, but we still need some time.
Simon, you know, you've lived here for long enough, and you know if there's one thing we do love in this great country, which we call home, is the fact of a new bit of documentation, a new bit of, because you'll just get stopped by somebody and say, where is your COVID passport? There's nothing yes. like a bit of bureaucracy, something more Kafkaesque to get involved with, as I am currently. It's like the Solomon's knot around my place at the moment, trying to work out various various ways and measures are doing all sorts of things at the moment. Finally, I don't want to, because let's try and leave them with a laugh, as the saying goes. Because of, you know, your dear lady wife, your two gorgeous children, who I obviously stalk on Facebook, your which I know you were drinking antifreeze last week. The question is, go to Simon's page to find out. The question is, it's the 1st of December, Simon, right? We're in that special time of the year for every parent in Spain, yeah? Being, you know, Anglo-Saxon, do you do Santa, or is it the Reyes, or is it, do you get that awful combination of los dos, or los cuatro, in fact?
Let me explain. It's very, very complicated. On the 13th of December, it is my youngest son's birthday. On the 9th of January, it is my eldest son's birthday. There are 4 weeks between those two dates. And between those two dates, we have to do two birthday parties, Christmas, New Year's, King's Day. And it's very, very tiring. So, yeah, we do Christmas. We do King's. We do the whole shebang. Normally Christmas we do in the UK with my folks. And then King's we do with the Spanish family. And then we also have to organize two birthday parties and some kind of New Year celebration. So it is a very busy time. I'm up to my ears in presents already, because we have to kind of very carefully share out the presents and make sure there's presents for each day and each occasion. So, yeah, it's King's and it's, but you know, having a foot in both countries, having the two celebrations does make it easy, because then there's not the situation where one family is annoyed because you're spending Christmas with them in a different country and blah, blah, blah. So it all works out okay.
Well, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. Hey, Simon, as we
said, said a wise man.
It said a wise man indeed. Simon, if people want to find out more of what's happening in Spain, I do recommend the guide as well for safety during these times over Christmas, and also all updates, of course. So where can they find you, Simon?
You can find us on the Elpais website. Just look for Elpais English Edition and you'll find us on the Elpais website and on social media. And just to let you know, the podcast is still on hold. We might be back in sort of February time, but no podcast for the immediate future. But you can catch up on our past episodes, which are sitting on our homepage if you want to go and check those out.
Indeed. And I even got a shout out, which I was very excited about. Right then, got to get on. Send our regards to the little kitten, who's obviously still in her apartment somewhere hunkered down. But as always, Simon Hunter-Elpais, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Darl. Speak to you soon.